Good morning. Today is the 29th. Boy, have we got a lot going on today. Today is rally day, which means there's a lot of things going on in the fellowship hall immediately after worship service. The theme is Mexican Fiesta. There's food. There's sign-up sheets for those willing and anxious to help out on some of the committees. And also, this afternoon at 4 o'clock is the installation service for Reverend Blackman. You're more than welcome to join us for that. It should be quite interesting with some of the dignitaries coming in from the presbytery. A good time will be had by all. One thing that is in the bulletin that we just had was cookies and conversation with classmates. Maria Smith is starting up her Sunday Bible study class. If you want further information, she'll hopefully be over there in the fellowship hall with us at Rally Day. You can contact her to see if you want to join us for that. And I know you're used to me going through a litany of announcements, but that's all for me. However, I've got some further announcements with Reverend Blackman to make.
One of the things we like to do on Rally Day is recognize our teachers. We do so appreciate our teachers, and they both conveniently are sitting right over there together. We've got Maria and Ronnie, and I believe the chair of the Christian Education Committee has gifts for you. We also, Mary Leah doesn't want to be recognized. That's why she's wearing her mask, but she also... But we appreciate so much that Mary Leah is the chair of the Christian Education Committee and does so much as well. We'd also like to recognize everybody that is a teacher or retired teacher. So if y'all would stand and be recognized too, our teachers and retired teachers, thank you so much for what you do. Mary Leah? Yay. Thank you, Mary Leah. We so appreciate you. We are so glad to have you here. Thank you. Thank you, Delaney and Cheyenne. Thank you very much. Okay. Are there other announcements that any prayer requests? Let's start with prayer. O Father of lights, from whose word of truth we have been born as first fruits of your creatures, make us quick to listen and slow to speak, that the word implanted in us may take root to nourish all of our living, and that we may be blessed in our doing and fruitful in action. In Jesus' name, amen.
God of our salvation. Come, let us
call to worship. We gather to worship in the presence of God.
As if we stood on God's holy hill.
We gather to worship as children of God.
As if we were standing in the waters of grace.
We gather to worship the living God.
For God is here among us.
The Lord be with you. Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn to the gathering hymn in Presbyterian Hymnal, page 411. Arise, your light is come. Of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin, and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. You tell us, O Lord, who may abide in your presence, who may dwell on your holy hill, those who walk blamelessly and do what is right, and who speak the truth from their heart. And yet, O Lord, we do not walk blamelessly. So often we stumble on the path of faith. The truth makes us nervous, and we pretend not to know what is right. Have mercy, O God. Convict us by your wisdom. Cleanse us by your grace. Challenge us by your presence. And by your forgiveness, free us to try again. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of God, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful for forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God.
Thank you. skipped over. God fills us with His peace as well as His forgiveness. So let us pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Now for our prayer for illumination. Lord God, we thank you for how you reveal yourself in the beauty of your creation. We thank you for how you reveal yourself through the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Guide us to hear what you want us to hear in your word, that hearing we might do your will in the world. Amen. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of their elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by doing going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Make us one, that the world may
Will the children please join me for a moment with the children? What good is an apple tree without apples? Not very good, is it? Or a fig bush without figs? Not very useful, is it? Or a peach tree without peaches? not very good, is it? Well, one thing that James tells us is that a Christian should bear fruit. That doesn't mean that we bear apples or figs or peaches, but it means that we do good things for people. That what we believe that we love God, that God loves other people too. So we want to do good works, and that's how we bear fruit. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you love us and that when we pass that love on, we bear fruit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Thank you.
Our next reading is from the book of James, chapter 1, beginning with verse 17. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creation. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word, and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves on going away, immediately forget what they look like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts Be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite authors is Richard Rohr. In his recent book, Falling Upward, A Spirituality for the Second Half of Life, he stated, quote, "In fact, the best of modern theology is revealing a strong turn toward participation, as opposed to religion as mere observation, affirmation, moralism, or group belonging. In other words, religion is not just about saying what you believe. It's about doing something. For the month of September, we're going to talk about the book of James with a strong emphasis on practical religion. What do I mean by practical religion? I mean a faith that makes a difference to our everyday lives. The word practical refers to practice of what we do, like practicing medicine or practicing law. We practice our faith or our religion. The word religion has fallen out of favor in modern language. I believe the popularity of the idea that is captured in the saying, "I am spiritual but not religious," is a rejection of churches that are too often judgmental of other people's conduct, but too seldom look at their own conduct. Rejection of being religious is an attempt to reject a fruitless church based on a misunderstanding of what true religion is. True religion refers to the tie that binds us together. There are many definitions of religion, but the one I like is the simplest. Looking to the Latin, re, the prefix, re, means to do something again. And ligate means to tie off, like ligature. So it's tying ourselves back together again. It's something we do when we come together in worship. And when we study our religion, we start with those things that bind us together, or those things we have in common. The Holy Spirit is our tie that binds. We have a common bond that is God calling us to be who we were created to be. Instruments of God's love, justice, and peace in the world that God so dearly loves. Do you hear the irony? If the Holy Spirit is the tie that binds us together, being truly spiritual is being truly religious. If someone is truly allowing themselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, they're drawn to the church, founded by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Being truly spiritual is being part of the body of Christ. All too often, religion seems to be all about being saved. I remember going to church with my grandmother at a church that had an altar call every Sunday. An altar call, in case you don't know, is when the preacher invites all those who want to commit their lives to Jesus Christ to come down forward at the end of the service. Every Sunday, the sermon in my grandmother's church was about being saved. Yes, Jesus came to save us from our sins and to remind us of God's desire to be in relationship with us. But Jesus also came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life is giving the life that God created in us and living that life abundantly. Focusing on nothing but salvation is like focusing on a first date. The first date's important, but it is only the prelude to a relationship. True religion is about the relationship. The book of James has been criticized as being in conflict with the theology of Paul. And those who criticize the book of James see Paul's theology as emphasizing the role of God, or the importance of grace in salvation, and the role of God in our salvation. The criticism of James is that he emphasizes the importance of works. James is particularly well known for having said, quote, "Faith without works is dead." One critic of James is the famous reformer, Martin Luther. Martin Luther reacted to James by calling it the epistle of straw. Martin Luther was particularly concerned that an overemphasis on works might cause Christians to think that salvation is based on something they can do, how good they can be. This belief is sometimes called works righteousness and is held up as being in conflict with the idea that there's nothing we can do to be righteous on our own. In fact, Paul says it this way in Galatians 3:11. "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the one who is righteous will live by faith." Martin Luther and other reformers asked the question, are we saved by faith or by works? And his answer was, sola fide, which in Latin means faith alone. Our salvation is not through works, it's through faith alone. This was a rejection of the idea that somehow we could earn our salvation. This was not a rejection of the importance of doing good. This was not a rejection of putting our faith into practice. James is not really asking the question, are we saved by faith or works? James is answering the question, now what? You say you have faith, but faith is shown by the difference it makes. You say you are spiritual, but what difference does being spiritual make in how you live your life? If you have faith, it bears fruit. What good is a fig tree if it doesn't have any figs? What good are Christians who say they have faith, but they don't look any different from anyone else? True faith bears fruit. There are many persons named James in the New Testament, but the author of this book is traditionally believed to be James, the brother of Jesus. It's easy to imagine that James, the brother of Jesus, the principal leader of the church in Jerusalem, would be concerned about preaching a faith that really makes a difference, a faith that bears fruit. Let's look at what James says in today's scripture. James begins our scripture by talking about every good gift being light from God. This reminds me of what President George H.W. Bush, the first President Bush, said when he talked about 1,000 points of light. His 1,000 points of light was a reference to the good that people do through volunteers, by being volunteers. James' reference to light from God is to the good that comes from God and shines through us as the hands and feet of Christ in the world. We are the tools that God uses to distribute that light to the world. It's through our practical religion that we distribute God's light to the world. If we're God's light bearers, we are bearing fruit and being fruit. James recognizes this in verse 18, saying that we have had our birth through the word of truth, so that we might become fruit, the first fruits of creation. So what does being fruit look like? According to James, one who is bearing fruit is quick to listen and slow to speak. This is basic Hebrew wisdom. The Psalms and Proverbs say this over and over again. A few examples. Psalm 62 begins, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From God only is my salvation." Psalm 120, verse 2 says, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue." Proverbs 10:19 says, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But the person who restrains their lips is wise." Second sign of a fruitful Christian is one who is slow to anger. James warns us that anger does not produce God's righteousness. Those who are prone to anger are quick to point out, well, what was Jesus doing when he cleansed the temple but being angry? However, this rare example of Jesus' anger was not about a personal conflict. It was this flare of temper he had was not because he'd been cut off in traffic or wrongly accused of a crime. Jesus was angry that God's temple was being used to cheat people. Jesus was angry that God's law was being perverted to enrich temple authorities. James tells us that we should be slow to anger, and that we need to focus on ridding ourselves of wickedness. This sounds a lot like Jesus' teaching, that we should focus on getting the log out of our own eyes before we get the speck out of someone else's. James' third point in this scripture about practical religion, about bearing fruit as a Christian, is that we should not just hear the word, but do it. James tells us that the word of God holds a mirror up to us. When we look in that mirror, we take a hard look at ourselves. When we look in the mirror, we should make a plan to improve ourselves in accordance with what we see in the mirror. That is what we hear in the word. Otherwise, we just see our image and forget what we see. What good is that? If we do not act, our religion is not practical. All too often, Christianity has emphasized belief and not action. Right belief is called orthodoxy. Right action is called orthopraxy. If we truly believe what we hear, It should lead to action. If we do not believe, we should act like we do. Now that sounds hypocritical, doesn't it? But sometimes feeling follows action. A popular saying kind of emphasizes that point. Fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. Act like you feel, and then the feelings will follow. It's natural to have doubts. Faith is not what we do when we're certain. It's what we do when we're not certain, when we have doubts. Sometimes the worries of the world overtake us. Sometimes it's hard to believe that a loving God is present in a world of floods and hurricanes and school shootings and cancer and other evil. It's how we act in times of death and despair that shows our faith. It's how we practice our religion when belief falls short that makes us people of faith. In those times that we are doers who act, not hearers who forget. James closes this passage with a fourth suggestion. James reminds us to bridle our tongues. Like Jesus in today's gospel lesson, when he says that what defiles is what comes out, not what goes in. Our words come from us and can defile us. Unfortunately, the childhood adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me, is misused when it's a license to say unkind words. The saying is intended to encourage those who are bullied not to take unkind words to heart. The saying does not say that insults are okay. Jesus says that what comes out of our mouth can defile us. His brother James tells us that our religion is worthless if we do not bridle our tongues. Those are strong words that are meant to emphasize the next verse. This is pure and undefiled religion, to visit widows and orphans in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, you may have noticed it's a little different from what you saw in your pew Bible. That's because I memorized it before the New Revised Standard Version came out. But it's a verse that's well worth memorizing. James is telling us it's important to remember that pure religion is not about believing right things. It's about doing right things. This is not about salvation. It's about the fruits of our salvation. If we truly love the God who saved us, we will bear fruit. If we truly love the God who saved us, we will actively care for widows and orphans and others whom God loves. If we truly love the God who saved us, we will not fall prey to the unkind words of the world. And we will keep ourselves unstained by the hate and anger brought about by unbridled words. If we truly love the God who saved us, we will practice pure religion. May it be so. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the traditional Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Presbyterian hymnal to number 276, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Please be seated. Would the ushers please come forward?
Thank you. Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray. In our trouble and need, we look to the Lord, the giver of our daily bread, saying, God of abundant grace. We pray for the church. Help us to be doers of your word, caring for all who are in distress, and keeping ourselves faithful to you, God of abundant grace. We pray for the world. Renew this earth that you so love. Bring an end to the winter of destruction and let the flowers of new life grow. God of abundant grace. We pray for our communities. Give us the wisdom and discernment we need to live in harmony with your will and in peace with our neighbors. God of abundant grace, we pray for the earth. Grant rain to the parched, strength to first responders, and peace where there is confusion. God of abundant grace, we pray for loved ones. Heal and restore those whose bodies are ravaged by time and tribulation, addiction or disease. Give them new life and hope and peace. God of abundant grace. Generous God, as you provide for us each day, nourish and strengthen us in faith and faithfulness so that we may share your grace in a hungry world through Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the hymn book, or turn to the insert in your bulletin, In My Life Be Glorified.
In my life, Lord, be glorified.
We've got our Mexican Fiesta rally day over in the Fellowship Hall. Please join us. And also tonight, I guarantee you that there'll be an excellent sermon by Ted Wardlaw on this screen at the installation service at 4 o'clock. So please join us for that as well. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Practice pure religion. Love God who saved you. Love and serve those whom God loves, the widows and the orphans. Keep yourself unstained by the angry words of the world and practice the pure religion of love. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.